Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast, episode number 3. So we're just kind of getting things rolling with our podcast. We were just approved on Google Play. So that is great news for the podcast. And so we're going to start posting these in Google Play so that you can see them out there and subscribe to them through the Google Play Store. Our next avenue will be iTunes, so we're going to start working on that next. So, a few topics to dive into today, but first, for any new listeners, my name's Eric English. My background is in IT and IT security, and I love crypto. I've been doing that kind of on the side. Been doing some of my own mining. I've got a mining rig with 12 GPUs, and I've just kind of fallen in love with the whole cryptocurrency market, and everything about blockchain. It's just fascinating to me. So that's kind of my background. I've got about a total of 15 years of experience in IT and IT security, cybersecurity. So, that's a little bit about me. I decided to make this podcast because the two topics of cybersecurity and cryptocurrency seem to, mesh quite often. And so I thought, what better than to start a podcast and talk about both, right? Because I'm sure there's more than one person out there that's passionate about cybersecurity and cryptocurrency, like I am. We're going to start today with cryptocurrency news. I saw an article today about the Ethereum network, and it saw a spike in transactions, up to 700,000 transactions a day, and that's up from 450. So I'm not sure what that spike is related to, but that sure is a large spike for the network. And I noticed yesterday I was transferring some Ethereum from my Coinbase account to Bittrex. And I noticed that it took forever to deposit. And actually, it never did deposit. So I've got a ticket open with Bittrex to see what's going on with that. So when I read the news today and saw that transactions were up that high, I kind of was relieved a little bit knowing that, the issue isn't something that I mistyped the address or something. It's probably just an issue with the Ethereum network in general. It's just so congested. So I'm not sure what's causing that slowdown, but man, you talk about it almost doubled in transaction volume. So if it was me, I would not make any Ethereum transactions for the next few days until the network catches up, until all these transactions get cleared. Because I have about $30 in limbo right now, waiting to hear back from Bittrex support to see what's going on there. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather too. I started getting a cold on Sunday, and here we are, it's Monday, and I'm not feeling well, so forgive me if I sound a little nasally today, but I wanted to go ahead and get on here and do episode 3 regardless. So, update on my mining situation. I'm mining for Ethereum and another coin called Honeycoin, and I'm mining with a dual miner called Claymore. I'm sure any other miners out there know exactly what that is, but I'm using Claymore to dual mine two different currencies, and I use whattomine.com to tell me what's the best coin to mine for, my type of graphics cards and GPUs. So it's pretty cool stuff. I really like the fact that I can get, revenue from two different cryptocurrencies rather than just mining for Ethereum only. So that certainly does make it nice. I typically take that Honeycoin and I usually I'll exchange it for, you know, Ripple or Verge or any one of those other coins out there. Anything's better than just sticking with the Honey coin. Ripple, Verge, and Stellar are some of the big ones that I've been buying up and kind of investing in. I got a little bit of Tron as well. But Ripple is kind of where I'm placing my biggest bet. You know, they're the third largest cryptocurrency out there. At least they were last time I checked. And, you know, it's pretty large for any cryptocurrency. But the value of the coin itself is rather low, if you ask me. I mean, it was at 45 cents yesterday, I believe. And that's just extremely low. I don't understand how you can be the third largest cryptocurrency and, you know, only be worth, you know, 45, maybe 50 cents per coin. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I saw some news about the Ripple CEO. He's, you know, embezzling money and all kinds of other crazy stuff. He's being investigated. So that's kind of scary. And it makes me wonder if I should stick with Ripple or if I should, you know, cash that out and go with something else, exchange it for something else like Stellar. Stellar is kind of the baby sister, baby brother of Ripple. It was created by the same people that created Ripple. They left Ripple and started their own coin called Stellar Lumens. The biggest difference between Ripple and Stellar is that Ripple is centralized and Stellar is decentralized. That's what the creators of Stellar wanted to do. They wanted to be decentralized. That's what blockchain is built on. You know, that's the whole purpose of cryptocurrencies, was to be decentralized. And so they didn't agree with Ripple's take, and so they decided to spin off and do their own thing. So, highly recommend checking out Stellar Lumens as well. I believe their symbol is XLM, if you want to check them out on your favorite exchange out there. Let's see, another coin that I've been mining for is called, I think it's called Pearl, P-I-R-L. I'm using that on a 2-gig graphics card. That 2-gig graphics card won't mine too much, so I decided just to pick a random coin. And I'm taking that Pearl coin, and I'm also, again, exchanging it for something, you know, like Verge, Ripple, whatever it is that I believe in a little more wholeheartedly. One of my other favorites is Komodo, K-O-M-O-D-O. Their stock symbol is KMD, and I really like their whole premise is decentralization, and just really dig what they're doing in the whole cryptocurrency space. They're allowing people to use their blockchain to spin up their own coins and all kinds of cool stuff that they're doing. So definitely want to check out Komodo as well. And maybe buy up a few hundred of those if you get some spare change. I want to talk a little bit about the market too in general. It's been horrible. I saw that Ethereum is, you know, still in the 400s. I can think back to last December. I mean, it was like $1,700, and it just really worries me that it sank and just tanked so much. Everything's tanked so much. You know, and all these exchanges keep getting hacked, and, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, it's just scary. I really hope that the market comes back to even a fraction of what it was. I mean, because I'm heavily invested in Ethereum, and to see that, you know, tank so badly when I've had so much invested in it is very disheartening. So, anyway, that's all for the crypto talk for today. Some quick quick updates in the cybersecurity realm, and then I'm going to sign off for today and get some rest. Saw some news about Donald Trump and his missing DNC server. I thought that was a pretty interesting read. I'm going to post the link to that article in the show notes today. Highly recommend checking that out. I'm trying not to make this podcast political, so I'll put it out there for you guys to read. I just thought it was interesting and cool to check out. We talked in episode 2 and 1, I believe, about... About TimeHop and the hack that happened to those guys. Well, there's some more news about the TimeHop hack. They found out that the hacker got more than they originally thought. So I believe in my episode 2, I said, oh, it's okay, they only got, you know, names and email addresses and phone numbers, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But apparently, the hackers got a lot more. Now, they haven't said what it is yet. The article said it will update once it gets news of what it is that they also got their hands on. But scary stuff. You know, if you've got those third-party apps in your Facebook, go in there and disable them. Do that Facebook privacy check. Turn all that crap off. I mean, these kind of hacks happen because of these third-party apps that aren't vetted. You know, but Facebook just posts them out there like, yeah, you sound like you're a great company. And here we are today, TimeHop getting hacked like crazy. So, and I saw another interesting statistic about business email compromise. The losses from email compromise, business email compromise, has cost businesses $12.5 billion. Yes, that's $1 billion. I mean, that is a staggering number to think about, you know, just from compromising someone's email account that they've, you know, we've lost a total of $12.5 billion. You know, I get really freaked out when I see numbers like this because, you know, I'm on the blue team now, so I'm playing defense. I'm trying to figure out what we can do. And this just, you know, highlights the thought of using multi-factor for everybody at your organization. I'm really pushing for that at my current job. I hope that we can go through with it. We use Okta for everything. And, you know, we use it for single sign-on. And, you know, we're doing two-factor for the IT folks. But really hope that we can do two-factor for everybody. You know, just really help mitigate that business email compromise. Because oftentimes, and it's happened at my company, somebody will get a phishing email. You know, somebody shared a document with you. Click here. They'll click it. It'll take them to a fake Office 365 login page, and they sign in with their credentials. And then, boom, your business email account has been compromised. So, you know, there's really no way to prevent that. You know, we use Proofpoint as our spam filter, and even Proofpoint didn't catch that kind of stuff, which is kind of disappointing as well. But Proofpoint didn't catch it. And, you know, these hackers are creating new websites daily and buying up these domains and setting up these fake Office 365 login pages on a daily basis. So it's so hard to keep up with all these fraudulent domains that they're creating. But I think a great way to mitigate this business email compromise is two-factor for everybody. You know, and I think at least if you can do it for your high-value targets at your company, anybody that's a C-level or an executive of some sort should be using multi-factor, and also anybody working with your financial data, anybody that works in the finance department, anybody that's authorized to wire money or to send money or to do any kinds of transactions, those are the people that really need two-factor enabled on their accounts. I mean, those are going to be your high-value targets that the hackers are going to go after. So, anyway, I'm going to cut it short today. It's just a 15-minute podcast for today. I'm not feeling real great, but I am going to do another podcast coming up tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that one. And again, I'm going to post a lot of these links in our show notes, so go check us out on the Google Play Store and check out those links in the show notes. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.